welcome back to Faith Together, everybody. We're so glad to have you with us today. As you know, we are in the midst of a series called Living Out the Shema. The Shema meaning a Hebrew word that represents to listen, and it is tied to the passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and how we can serve God in our everyday lives. And so I'm joined today with my co-host, Leon. Hi, Leon.
Good morning. I probably shouldn't say that because this may not be airing in the morning.
But that's okay. Listeners, you know we record these at all different times.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're wishing you a good morning. Yes, good morning to you too. And we have several things happening today. Leon, we have a few announcements we want to remind everybody about. One being our special contest that's going on for families, right?
That's right. So we've been conducting a survey on our website. And the website is centerff.com. And we've got 3-question survey there. And we are going to draw on March 1st a winner of that survey. And the winner gets a $50 Fandango gift card for the family to go see a movie together.
So exciting.
Yeah. And of course, when we were talking about what we wanted to do, we thought, you can't send people to the movies and then not provide snacks for them. So we also have a $50 gift card that we're going to give you for you to get all kinds of good snacks while you're watching the movie together. And part of that is because we want to support you as a family doing things together that will strengthen your faith as you live out your commitment to Christ. So there it is. That's the big thing that's happening right now.
Yeah, and pretty soon we're going to be drawing the winner. So don't delay. Get on there, fill out the survey, and join us for a special giveaway. We're so excited about
it. And we also want to remind people that not only can you find this podcast on all the normal podcast platforms, but we started a YouTube channel about a month ago, I think.
Yeah.
About now. And we hope to have an announcement coming not too far from now about something associated with our YouTube channel. So we'd love for you to go there and subscribe, and that will just help us kind of get the word out. And also you can kind of put a notification thing on there. I don't know exactly how that works, but
yes.
Notification, so it'll let you know every time we post a new podcast.
Yeah, you'll get a notification that there's a new one to listen to.
Yeah, so that's how it works.
Speaking of listening, we're really glad that you're here today because we have a special episode today, don't we, Leon?
We do, and we have a guest with us that I'm really excited to hear from. I did not know about her and the ministry that she has until you shared it with me one day from an experience you had.
Yeah, so today we're thrilled to welcome my friend and our special guest, Rachel from Locavore Farm here in Kankakee County. And Rachel and her husband, Chris, correct?
Correct.
Yes. They like to call themselves missionary farmers, and there'll be more about that here in a little bit. But we know that we want to support your family connecting with one another at church, but also at home. And what happens at home is so very important. And we've been talking a lot about that, about how we can have faith conversations away from home and inside our homes. And so in this series of Living Out the Shema, we're focusing on how we can have faith conversations inside our homes. And primarily, you know, we kicked off last week, our meal times are a great time to connect with one another at home around the table. And as I was thinking through a family that understands the power of community around the table and connection and faith conversations, I just thought of the Jones family. And so we're just so thankful to have you here, Rachel, and so grateful for your ministry at Locavore. And so, listeners, I'm excited for you to hear more about Locavore Farm. And if you're listening outside of Kankakee County, you can find out all of their information online as well. But if you are here in Kankakee County, I couldn't recommend going out to Locavore more. I had the opportunity to do so this past summer, Leon, which is why I mentioned this as an opportunity for us to have Rachel as our guest.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing to encourage people to go to a farm.
Uh-huh.
I don't really think about, let's go to a farm as something fun to do. But they're doing some really unique things, which I'm really excited about. And so, Rachel, we're really glad you're with us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's just start by your name, the name of your farm.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about, that sounds like a unique name.
Sure. Locavore Farm is, locavore is someone who consumes food locally. So it's a real word out there. We didn't make it up.
Okay.
There are carnivores, there are herbivores, omnivores, and then there are locavores.
Wow.
And for us, we really wanted to keep emphasizing the closeness of the table on our farm and the gardens on our farm. And that you couldn't get more local. They say a locavore consumes food within a 90-mile radius. We're 90 steps.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So great. So tell us about Locavore Farm and what you feel called to here in Kankakee County.
Well, absolutely. So for us, our family had this drive, this draw to kind of abandon the comfort of suburbia. We love growing food. We've oftentimes grown food in our backyards or our urban apartments when we were first married. But we had this draw to a rural space and to get, you know, our hands dirty in farming.
Mm-hmm.
So we desired to grow food and grow food for a table. The table obviously is what everyone grows food for, but we wanted the table and the food to be in proximity, representing community, representing local food. And time spent together. Oftentimes, you had mentioned you don't necessarily think about going to a farm. Well, yeah, farms haven't been very inviting with the agricultural boom in terms of there's really no reason to go out and check out a farm. There's big equipment out there, yeah. And you stay away, you know.
Yeah. Right.
But for us, we see this commonality and this unity around food and the celebration that we can have. Eating food. We say the most universal conversation is a meal. And so for us, it was an opportunity to grow food, really roll up our sleeves and be connected to nature and the rhythms of agriculture, teach our children where food comes from, what a vegetable is, all of these things, how to prepare it, but also to really connect with a community through food and highlighting and celebrating what we believe to be the most sacred space, that table, where we get to share our ideas, our feelings,
yeah.
Our hopes and dreams. And we do that through a feast on our farm. So we grow the food for a 5-course feast. We invite 100 guests. Now, oftentimes people have thought they needed to know 99 other people, but no, you are part of 100 people, which
wow.
To us is the perfect size. It's big, but not too big.
And I understand this is one table. Is that correct?
That is correct. It does have sections that then interconnect because obviously we have to get it out and about. We have to store it in.
Yeah.
But when you sync all the pieces up together, it is one continuous table. 100 feet long.
And it's outside?
It's outside or inside because we have a barn. So when in the event of rain, we don't cancel our events. We have a barn that houses the table well.
Okay, so give us an idea. That's such a unique concept. So give us an idea of kind of how that actually works. So if someone says, you know, that sounds interesting. What do you do? What do I do? How does that come about?
Sure. So typically people find us, their friends have come. So word of mouth, they go to mm-hmm. our website and they purchase their tickets, you know. And when they come to our farm on most of our, we call it Dine on the Land. So it's a table on the farm, but formerly known as Dine on the Land. That's our experience. This is actually our 9th season. And so guests come and they bring their friends. They arrive at 5. They come to our farm. They walk down. They may grab a drink. They meet out on our patio overlooking our pond and prairie. We're a farm that embraces both production and conservation, so there's many aspects to the farm to visit. We do a farm tour where we walk guests around the farm and show them all of our different agricultural practices. They're able to see the gardens where we grow flowers, vegetables, herbs. They get to see the chickens and the goats and the lambs and the cow and cattle and all the different livestock that we have.
Kids love that part.
Absolutely.
That is super fun. I know when I got to visit the farm this summer, we went as a church staff together to have a meal and we brought all of our families. And so we had a lot of kids there and they loved running around the farm, seeing the animals, learning about the gardens. It was really neat.
For us, it's definitely about creating a space and time for people to slow down. I think everyone suffers from hurry sickness. Our motto on the farm is to slow down. Growing good food takes time. It's a slow and patient work, enduring work. Our farm tour involves just communicating those very valuable lessons we learn in the field, but how they apply to our lives and obviously the gospel truth.
That's beautiful. So after everyone gets to kind of see the farm, then you seat the guests at the table,
yeah,
correct?
We have a giant dinner bell that echoes throughout the farm. Everyone loves that.
You know?
It just signals it's time to be together. And everyone finds their seat at the table, and then we begin a multi-course feast. And these vegetables and all the items on the plate, they've already explored on the farm tour. So now there's a real connection and a deep respect for the food that they're consuming. Kids are chowing down those green vegetables, believe it or not, because they just saw where they came from. Kids are curious. So for them, it's really awesome that they just saw those growing and now they're right here in front of them. And so we have music going throughout the feast. Guests oftentimes get up and take a picture as the sun's setting over in, by the prairie, which is near the table. It's a slow pace. It's a time to enjoy. We oftentimes say that we're putting culture back into agriculture, the celebration of food rather than just the consumption and the production of food. Food is a beautiful thing. And as you know, feast is a lovely picture and reality in Scripture.
That's right. Wow, I love that. Putting culture back into agriculture. And the feasting that we see in Scripture is something that we see at your farm. And as someone who is a part of it, I just couldn't recommend it more. It was a wonderful evening where I did feel my soul came to a still place and was able to see the people around me and share with them in new ways. Now, Rachel, why do you believe, just hearing about, you know, guests sitting at that table and sharing with one another through the meal and through the conversation, why do you believe that that connection around the table specifically is so needed today?
Well, it's definitely that slower pace, and it's intentional, and it's deliberate, and we're eye to eye and shoulder to shoulder. And I can't think of a lot of other times throughout the day that we're actually positioned that way, face to face, eye to eye, shoulder to shoulder. Think of all the other activities we do during the day. So here we are at a table, which beckons us to be physically positioned that way. And also, we have that intention of food nourishment. So while our physical bodies are being nourished, we have an opportunity to go deeper with one another. In my household, we love to have the highs and lows where we're able to reconnect.
Yeah, you know? We talked a little bit about that last week
on
our episode. Yeah. Talking about, you know, sharing the highs and lows, the best, the bummers of your day.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that you don't even need to formalize that. It happens if you take time to sit down. And I can't think of a time frame, mealtime, 6 to 9, let's say, where our households are absolutely brimming with activity. Everything else is calling us away from the home and away from the table. Most of our activities, our programs, our commitments are, that's the scheduled time. And so for me, it's even looking at that time and saying, why is this so under attack? Because this is the time that we come together. I think of the Passover table, the communion table, and then the feast we're promised, spoken of in Isaiah.
That's right.
And I think this time is sacred, and how can I protect that?
Wow, that's good. Yeah, because we've talked about the importance of honoring mealtime. We talked a little bit about that last week.
And we did.
It's a little bit of a struggle because it forces us to reconsider some of the things that we have allowed to impede into our lives with the busyness. As you've mentioned, Rachel, we're all very, very busy. And oftentimes that mealtime is what suffers. And one of the things we discovered last week is this is a humanity issue. So this is not like just like today that we have to deal with. This has been throughout time, sitting down to a meal. We talked about this when we talked about the Hebrew scriptures and the way traditions used to be around mealtimes. These are sacred moments that in the culture in which we live today, we have turned it into a time of getting the food that our body so desires and then moving on to the next thing. instead of letting it be an experience for us. So I love kind of that that's what you're providing for these families. So in the midst of all of that, how have you seen God at work in the conversations around tables as people gather at your farm?
I love the fluidity of the table in that we don't set up people where there, it's not like a wedding where you have assigned seating. We may designate for some larger groups with where they may go so that we're not moving 100 people one seat over. However, it's very organic how people gather around the 100-foot table. And I am amazed how many people following dinner find out that the person they sat across to, next to, or maybe two people over, that they ended up engaging in a conversation, that they have common friends, that they have, that they went to high school with so-and-so, and this is my brother, well, my best friend was, and sister were brothers, you know, just the connections that they have. It's like the Kevin Bacon connection there.
Yeah.
But also, just the shared experiences, when people come together at a table, it's amazing how they do begin to connect. It is natural. It is natural for them to ask one another about each other. And so I would say that I've heard people say that they've enjoyed meeting a stranger. They've exchanged numbers as friends. They've encouraged one another at the table, laughing with people that we don't know. That's actually something that's really important. Face-to-face communication with people we don't know. The growth you experience, the joy that you experience. And again, where else do we have that opportunity? Technology really puts up the barriers. We communicate with our friends, or we speak to faces we don't know and voices we're not familiar with. So at the table, here is this person, this human in front of me, and I am interacting with them, and I don't know them, and I get to ask questions. And for me, this really pulls me out of myself and has me looking towards another.
Yeah.
And that's where community is built.
That's wonderful. And as I hear you talking, I'm immediately thinking there's not a thing that you're saying that should not happen at our tables in our homes. This is not just something that would happen at your farm,
right?
But those kind of conversations, that recognition that you are valuable as a person, as I see you face to face across a table from me, is an important thing.
I was thinking the same thing, Leon, and how Rachel, as you were sharing about proximity, just a posture of proximity opens up connection in ways that we can't imagine. And when you think about it opening up so much connection with strangers at your farm table, for all of our listeners at home, think about the connection that can happen at your tables with the relationships that are already built. You're not talking to strangers. You're talking to your children, to your family, to your spouse. And so, Rachel, what advice would you give families to make these sorts of connections around their own tables in their own homes?
Well, people aren't going to like it because it means you have to stop certain activities. It's just the truth. It's like, how do we want, when someone wants to lose weight, what are the two things they tell you immediately to do? And that is stop sugar and carbs, right? Generally, that's the common answer and response. And well, nobody wants to do that. It means to stop something. I don't think we can just keep going on as we are and expect to have that time all of a sudden be available. We actually have to guard it. Guard your hearts and guard this time. I just see this connection. There's an actual, an activity that needs to be done, to protect that. It has to be deliberate is what I mean by that. So it means, what if you don't go to that meeting? What if you say that that's not a time you can schedule? These are sacrifices, and I think that we're at a point in our society where we actually have to make these hard decisions. They're not just going to come about easy. It's not just going to make way. We're not all of a sudden going to find ourselves at the table with all of our children engaged in deep, meaningful, and valuable conversation, eating nutritious food that nourishes body and the time that nourishes soul. We're not going to stumble upon that time. We actually have to create it, make it, guard it, do it. And I think that's the case in many areas of our life. There's a fight.
Absolutely. And I think for our families listening today, it's starting somewhere. you know, choosing those meal times that you want to be set apart for connection. So finding those times of the week that you can carve out and say, okay, these meal times, we're going to be together.
Exactly. Yes. And it's going to take time. We've been going along for quite some time. So we might find this to be very difficult. So like you're saying, the practical approach, the simple approach is to start with a day, start with a night. This is our night. This is our, remember, family night, you know, and we're not going to overprogram and overschedule our lives. We're going to actually say, this is what we're doing during this time frame. It's mealtime. And then you can take it another day and invite someone else to join you around your table. You know, and that is where your family gets to experience being hospitable together. That's something I've loved about this journey with Locavore Farm and what I see it happening, you know, what's happening with my kids, this transfer of a spirit of hospitality, of a spirit of, you know, inviting other people around you and sharing your life with them and living out loud, serving them. As well has been really encouraging. And so again, yes, a little step, a baby step, right? A baby step is pick a day that's your family's time to connect.
Yeah, I like starting small, choosing a day, turning the television off, putting the cell phones away, and being together as a family, eating a meal together. And then that usually leads to playing a game together, doing something together. So I know that, your meal time on your farm is rather lengthy in time. Is it a couple hours?
It sure is.
Yeah. So most of us aren't going to, I'm thinking about when my kids were young, the thought of having 2 hours at the table with them is like, no, if we can last 15 minutes, things haven't been destroyed and food all over the place, we've done well. So I think just, you know, setting that time aside, being with your family for as long as it takes to get through the meal together and spend a little time together, and then maybe even before leaving the table, bringing a board game to the table, doing something together as a family. These are things that when your kids grow up, they will not forget. These are the things that will impact their lives. And so investing in this, making a change in our schedules, making this a priority is worth the investment. And so we want to encourage you to give that thought if that's not something that you're doing currently.
And we would love to hear if any of you, you know, give this a try or already are trying to protect your meal times, share with us on our Facebook page, Instagram, website, send us an email, let us know what's working for your family because we all learn from one another. And every family is different in how we connect and how we have conversations together. But the thing that's the same is we need each other and we can easily forget that. And it's until you're in those moments connecting with one another that we remember, oh, this is what I was made for. I was made for one another.
One other thing too is I think it's important to have the kids contribute to the meal, be a part of it. I think far too many of our activities, we set the table, so to speak, in other areas for the kids to come and participate or at least be spectators, rather. And particularly with mealtime or any of these very sacred times that we have with our family, the kids should be stewards and contributors to it because then it becomes important to them. Not just something they're showing up to and have to do, but what if you were responsible for a meal or a portion of the meal? What if we cooked together? What if, hey, we want you to tell us a little bit about this part of your day. You share this at the table. Assigning roles and activities for the kids to be able to be part of putting the feast on. I know for our big feast, my kids are very much responsible for many aspects of picking flowers, filling water in the vase for the table, helping harvest some of the food that we're preparing, and also helping me chop and wash and rinse. And I feel like that's really important for us to return responsibility and let our kids know that they're an integral part of this unit. Our families don't work without their participation. And I think mealtime is a perfect opportunity for us all to be about that time.
Well, I think that's great advice. I love the idea. Lindsay and I have talked about, in the context of ministry, you can do ministry to children, you can do ministry for children, or you can do ministry with children. And I think we would both say that the with children is the way that it needs to be done. And that's what I hear you saying, Rachel.
Yes.
Yeah. Do these experiences with your children and engage them in it. Well, I understand you've got some exciting things happening this summer at the farm. So we want to give you an opportunity to share that with our listeners, if they're local, that they can maybe participate in some of that. So share with us what you're doing this summer.
Sure. One of the things I am absolutely excited about is our summer camps. That is an opportunity for parents to actually send their kids to be equipped with some of these wonderful life skills that we're talking about as they pertain to food, growing it, preparing it, harvesting it, as well as just being more self-reliant. So we have our farm camp program, which opens up in June. We have several different dates that parents can choose from. We have 2-day and 3-day consecutive camps for people wanting a more immersive experience. And then we have over 15 different opportunities throughout the summer for children to come and participate in our from 9 to 3 workshops or camps. And they learn everything from soil to planting vegetation, trees, animals. We're even going to highlight the cicada emergence that's taking place, insect bugs, animals from the farm to the rainforest. The kids are able to learn construction projects and learn how to build and use their hands. So kids are using tools. Culinary is always a part of our camps. So we love our farm camps. Those are available for register. You can register for those. It's opened up at locavorefarm.com. Then we kick off our Thursdays, May through October. We are open every Thursday because that is when people come and pick up their farm box. So we grow food weekly for families. They sign up for that in advance. And Thursday is our celebration of that harvest. So we invite then the entire public to come and sit at the table. It's more informal than our Saturday Dine on the Land events. And then throughout the season, May through December, we have our Dine on the Land experience every Saturday. So you can check our schedule out.
And all of that information is on your website?
Yes.
Locavorefarm.com.
Yes.
Yes.
And we'll have a link of that to on our website as well, so that if you come to our website and you're not sure how to find Rachel's website, it'll be right there for you.
Yes, absolutely. Rachel, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us and for just reminding us that the intentionality around the table is worth it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm liking this series already.
Me too, Leon. So let's keep going.
Yeah, we're a couple sessions in, three sessions in, I guess, now. And love this idea about sharing life together with your family around the table. So we want to remind you as we wrap up this episode that our survey is on the website, centerff.com. You can find us there. You can also find us on Facebook. And we want to give you a little bit of a preview of next week.
Next week, we have a special episode on bedtime rituals and how bedtime is a very intentional time that we can stop and connect with our kids, with our grandkids, and use that time that can feel like the most exhausting time of the day to actually be one of the most energizing times of the day. So we hope that you tune in. Leon, we have a special guest joining us for the bedtime episode as well, don't we?
We do.
Yeah, a parent.
Yeah, just a parent.
A mom doing it on the ground each and every week, and how she sees bedtime becoming a restorative practice for them and not just an exhaustive one.
Yeah, and I hope we will learn together that it doesn't have to be chaos.
That's right.
That bedtime doesn't have to be chaos. That there's some really wonderful things that we can do to help pass faith to our kids, which is what we're all about. We appreciate you being a part of what we're doing, and we hope that you will tune in next week. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and give you peace. You've been listening to the Faith Together podcast from the Center for Faith and Family at Olivet Nazarene University. Sign up for additional resources at centerff.com. When building faith, we are better together.